from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to this special Thanksgiving edition of Washington Watch. I hope you've had a great day, and maybe your festivities are still going on. Well, you know, this is oftentimes really kind of the start of the holiday season. From Thanksgiving, we go into to Christmas, and it's a great time of year. I love it. And I wanted to take some step back a little bit from the politics and the policy, and I guess get kind of personal. Just about not quite a year ago, we had a new member join our team, someone I've known for a long time, who's joined us as our chief of staff, my chief of staff, and a senior vice president here at the Family Research Council. And he has been a great addition, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. After I introduce him, I'll tell you exactly what we're going to do, but we're going to kind of turn the tables a little bit. Harold Harper was at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission with the Southern Baptist Convention, has pastored, has been on staff at a church, served in a different role, formal background is in counseling. And just so thrilled to have him here at the Family Research Council, and he joins me today behind the microphone. Harold, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, let me start with things that I'm thankful for on this Thanksgiving. I'm thankful that you're now a part of the FRC team. You're more than having your feet wet. You've been here long enough. You know what's going on, but it's pretty intense here at the Family Research Council.
It is intense. So what I'm most thankful for is making it through my first year here in Washington, D.C.
That in of itself, just being in Washington, can be a challenge. But let me tell the listeners what we're going to do here today.
Okay.
We're going to kind of, as I said, turn the tables. You're going to sit in my seat. In fact, you're sitting in my seat.
I am.
And you're actually going to do the interview today. You're going to actually interview me. This is not something I do often. In fact, I don't know that I've ever done this on Washington Watch. Turn the microphone over to someone else to actually ask me the questions. I like to ask the questions, but I'm going to let you ask them today.
Okay. Well, you know, me just celebrating 1 year and seeing all that you're into, you're celebrating 15 years. So I want to begin with just I remember when God called you here, and I remember praying for you. But can you give me a recap of what you're most thankful for over these 15 past years here at FRC?
Well, you said you were thankful you survived a year. I mean, hey, I'm 15 times that. Yeah. It's been a fascinating journey. I never envisioned that I would be at the Family Research Council for 15 years. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. I had, as you know, I had been in office in Louisiana. You're from Louisiana, so that's kind of that connection.
Yeah.
And I had the year previous, I ran for the U.S. Senate, lost that race, recruited then to run for insurance commissioner as a reform candidate. It was in that race when I was approached by Dr. Dobson and the then chairman of the board at FRC. And I stepped out of that race to come, thinking I would be here for a few years and then maybe reenter the political arena. And it's been an exciting, challenging, rewarding venture. And this is, Harold, I think you could say the same thing, because I know where the Lord has taken you and what you've mm-hmm. been a part of, is that the Christian life lived in faith, trusting in God, is the most exciting life. There's never a boring moment.
That's right, right.
And there's never that boredom that sets in at FRC. It's the exact opposite. I mean, we're constantly moving, new challenges, new opportunities. And I'll say, despite the recent elections and the challenges that I foresee at coming next year, this is a great time. I mean, I just think that the Lord has just given us such a tremendous opportunity to reach not only this country with truth, but literally now the doors are opening around the world. And I'm just excited because I anticipate that even when things are dark, that, you know, yeah. God is constantly at work and there's some great things just around the corner.
Can you take us back to the, you just casually mentioned that Dr. Dobson called. Can you just take us back to that phone call and what was really involved? Because your story is similar to one of the things that I think has been one of the highlights of being here for a year is just seeing how many people have been called by God to do this type of work. Can you walk us through that initial phone call?
Well, it was, I actually remember the first conversation I had was July 3rd of 2003, when the previous president from FRC resigned and left. And I was having a conversation with one of my counterparts at Focus on the Family. And let me step back a little bit further. I had gotten to know Dr. Dobson because I was the author of the nation's first covenant marriage law, mm-hmm. which caught his attention. And so I ended up being on his radio program a number of times talking about that. I was also the lead opponent to legalize gambling in Louisiana, which had become mm-hmm. a menace during the late 1990s and after the early 2000s. And so I testified before the Gambling Commission, which he was a member of. And so I had a lot of interaction with him. And I think some of his people there had taken to him the prospect of, hey, why don't you consider Tony Perkins? And I'll never forget when the offer actually came. I was filming in my front yard a commercial for the insurance race, because this was in August of 2003, and the race was that November. And I was in the middle of the film crew. The crew was out there filming, and my phone rang, and they offered me the position. And I remember we had prayed about this, and my wife and I, and we knew that this, if the Lord opened this door, this is where we needed to go. And so I came back after the phone call, and I told the camera crew, I said, all right, pack up, we're finished. They said, well, we haven't finished the ad. I said, there's no ad. I'm stepping out of the race. And that was kind of a big shock, because I was favored to win that race, but because of the past history of the race, the three previous commissioners had all gone to jail. And so there was some anticipation that I could be a reformed candidate. And so, you know, when I walked away from it, it was big news, but it was a good decision. Never questioned the validity of that decision. The Lord led us down this path, and it's been a great 15 years.
Over those 15 years, though, you've heard a lot of stories like yours where, I mean, you were literally called by God to come here. You prayed about it. This opportunity came. You responded. Talk to us about what you've seen from your seat with regard to, over the years, just God putting the right people in the right place, some behind the scenes, some on the front lines. But that's what's encouraged me just tremendously to hear. It's not what people think. It's not about, you know, running for office and wanting to run. Many are called by God. They would be disobedient not to get involved in the work here.
Well, Harold, I think you reflect that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you would never have volunteered for this.
Right.
God called
you. I told you no.
I know you did. So did General Boykin. He told me no a couple of times, and I just knew that the type of people I needed were, you know, people like you, people like General Boykin and the others that are on our team, that some of them a little more difficult to get. Took me a long time praying and God moving on them to bring them to FRC. But it is a calling. And part of that is just I'm looking for those that I think are called that have the skill set, the giftings that God has given. And then, you know, hey, we leave it up to God. And you and I prayed about that. I said, you know, if this is the Lord, great. If it's not, I don't want you to come.
Right. And I appreciated that.
Because I don't want anybody, I don't want any Jonas on our boat. I don't want anybody outside the will of God. But I think that God does call, He equips, And that's what's one of the neat things that I have seen is that, and I've even seen this in Congress over the last 15 years, where God has called people there. And when they walk in that calling with, and not in their own strength, but beyond their own ability, relying on the Lord, He does amazing things. Mm-hmm. Amazing things.
Yes, I agree. Talk to our listeners about the importance of praying for those who are called and then praying for God to call more, because we certainly need more godly men and women in Washington, D.C. and involved in the work that we do.
I think, first off, I think we're all called, as believers, we're all called to serve in some form or fashion, some capacity. We're called to be witnesses for Christ. We're called to stand for truth, and that's in different ways. But when we talk about the arena in which we're in, the public policy arena, the political mm-hmm. arena, you know, people say, I'm just praying for godly government. Well, okay, I get that. I pray for that too. But William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said one time, he said, you know, government is like clocks. It's like a clock. It takes its motion from men. If men be good, then government will be good. Hmm. And if we're going to pray for godly government, we've got to pray for godly people in government, because government is not some inanimate object. It takes on the character of the people in it. And so we need to be praying for godly men and women who know right from wrong and have courage and have been tested, that are willing to stand in this arena, which is increasingly getting difficult because of the hostility toward biblical principles and a biblical worldview. And we need to pray for them once they're here, but continue to pray that God would bring more, especially young people. Right. We need more young people. And there are a lot out there. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, No Fear, is because there are a lot more young people committed to their faith in Jesus Christ and standing up for Him than what I think they're given credit for. But we need to nurture that, need to pray for that, and ask God to send more.
Yesterday in our senior leadership lunchtime, many of our listeners would be interested to know this, that General Boykin has been pouring into our senior leadership team leadership principles. Yesterday we looked at the life of Daniel and talked about that. And one of the things that as I was studying that, that was so encouraging to me, I think God let me look at it through a different lens because of working here, is how involved he was. He was a powerful political person. And, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar appointed him ruler. I mean, it's just all through the book of Daniel.
Another example, and there's several in Scripture, of those that were called to operate in that government realm. As you know, they didn't have campaigns, so to speak. Although there was somewhat of a campaign in his case, he had to be selected for that position, but he served faithfully, faced opposition, but did not yield to the opposition. And guess what happened? God honored it and blessed him and prospered him. Harold, I know what that music means. I think you know as well that we're up against a break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, along with Harold Harper, who's sitting in my chair today asking the questions on this special Thanksgiving edition of Washington Watch. You can find out more by going to the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving, enjoying time with family and friends, and giving thanks to God for the many blessings we have. All right, we're coming back with more of our conversation here on Washington Watch right after this. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join LaWanna and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women. From aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Joining me today, the Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and our Chief of Staff, Harold Harper. Harold's sitting in my chair today, and we're kind of, I'm letting him ask the questions. We're kind of stepping back from the policies, politics of the day here in Washington, D.C., and just having kind of a personal conversation. Harold, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
That's a good question. Garth Brooks broccoli, and that's my wife and I bought.
Is it stringy?
We bought a cookbook when we lived in Nashville for my mother-in-law, and it was different moms who had cooked for their famous artist. And so my mother-in-law made this Garth Brooks broccoli, and it has become a family favorite every year. What about you?
Well, I might have to try that. I like broccoli. I'm a big broccoli fan, actually. It's a very healthy vegetable, as long as you don't put a lot of cheese and all that other stuff on it. But
Kind of Cajun broccoli at your house.
Well, we put a little. I never eat it plain. I put a little Tony Sashry's on. They give it a little spice. But my favorite by far, my favorite holiday dish, and I would have it on every holiday, including my birthday, if I could, is sweet potato crunch. That my wife makes it, and now my girls make it, and it is without question, hands down, my favorite. Now it's it sounds healthy, but it's not. It's got the sweet potatoes with the pecans in it and the brown sugar and the butter, and it's really like eating dessert in your main course. So it's just, that's my favorite.
Well, I know you love this time of year because you love spending time with your family, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because one of the things that has been encouraging to me in my first year here is you've said on more than one occasion, Harold, you can get a new job, but you can't get a new family. So take care of your family. I appreciate that. which segues into the question of how do you do it? How do you manage your role? I mean, you're traveling all around the world, and yet come weekends, the weekends are real important for the Perkins family. Talk to us a little bit about that and how you've seen other, you've got several friends that are doing similar roles, and but it's something you talk about with your friends who are serving in Congress and in the Senate.
Yeah, again, it goes back to kind of to the calling, and the calling is not just to me, but it's to my wife. Mm-hmm. We've been married. It'll be the first of this next year. In March, 33 years, and it's a partnership. And of course, when we were married, I never was interested in politics. I was in the Marine Corps when we were married, and my goal was to work in law enforcement, which I did. But the Lord redirected my steps into the political arena. But my wife has sensed the calling all along and has been with me and has been really not only my biggest supporter, but my she's been my partner and has helped me. And I could not do what I do without my wife. It is a partnership through and through, in part for us. Not every situation is the same. For some folks, we've done for the last 15 years would not work.
Right.
And so therefore God would not call them to that. Mm-hmm. He called us and it has worked. And it's not just worked, it's worked well. Mm-hmm. We have not just survived. I believe we've thrived. Now, there's trade-offs. You know, I commute from Louisiana to Washington each week. I've been doing that for 15 years. And so I am gone somewhat, but we've homeschooled our children. They're now two are still in school. The others are off into college. One's working. But it's
and remind our listeners how many children you have.
I have five. My oldest is an ER nurse. Second oldest is a senior in college. The third, my oldest son, will be in January a freshman in college. Then I've got a senior in high school, and then I've got Samuel, who's 11, who keeps me grounded and moving quickly. And we homeschooled, and so it's given us a lot of flexibility in our schedule. But we've been intentional. Mm-hmm. Now I don't do anything but our family, our church, and work. I run, I exercise, but I don't play golf. I don't do a lot of external things just because if we do it, we do it as a family. We do everything as a family. We camp. We're intentional about the time we spend together. But what I think has been most critical and most helpful in our, I would say non-traditional, if you will, structure as a family, and I don't think it's as non-traditional anymore as it once was, but God is at the center of our family, and we are intentional about our study of Scripture. We're all in the same, we go through the Bible together. We study it. We have the weekend Sunday afternoon lunch is really the highlight of the week for me because that's my discipleship time with my kids where we unpack the study, the reading that we've had during the course of the week, and we integrate that Scripture with our walk as Christians. And of course, by where I'm at and what I do, we have interesting conversations about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And my kids are, well-versed on what those things are happening. But each of them are different and unique. And so discipling them and counseling them and encourage them and to walk in their giftings as God has gifted them and called them has been really an exciting chapter in my life as a parent.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting to me is how you'll read the Scripture together, but you're also texting during the day or during the week, kind of making the application along the way. Pretty cool.
I'll actually talk about that on the other side of the break. Music here again. Harold, that means we got a break. Harold Harper sitting in my chair asking the questions today on this Thanksgiving edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. And if you would like the recipe for the sweet potato crunch, go to TonyPerkins.com. Also, well, I don't know. I might share my recipe later of pralines, which is what I like to make this time of year. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. Harold Harper and Tony Perkins. Don't go away. We're back after this. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
This is Washington Watch, and you're listening to a special Thanksgiving Day edition of Washington Watch. So glad that you've tuned in, whether it's in the car or maybe you're sitting around listening as you're napping from the turkey. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're enjoying the day. I trust with family, friends, but wherever you are, giving thanks to God for the many, many blessings that we've been given as a nation, as individuals, thankful for what God has done for us. And if you go back to the very first Thanksgiving, it was Thanksgiving not to the Indians, as some of the modern day textbooks say, but it was Thanksgiving to God who sustained those pilgrims through that difficult winter. And you and I, we've been blessed beyond just beyond belief when it comes to the food, the clothing, the shelter, everything. We live like kings, literally, from previous generations. But as Christians today, regardless of what our economic situation may be, even our family setting, we need to thank God for the grace that He has extended to us, that through His love of sending His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, that you and I can be reconciled to Him and have a relationship with Him and be forgiven of our sins and be assured of spending eternity with Him. That, in of itself, is reason to be thankful. But we have a nation in which that principle, that core understanding of God intersecting and sticking His hand into the affairs of men and blessing us, is really it's what's at the heart of America and of Thanksgiving. So be thankful today. All right, Harold, I took advantage. You're sitting in the chair there, but I wanted to throw that in as we came back. You asked me before we went to the break about the communication that we have as a family when it comes to our Bible reading. And yes, each day, no matter where I might be in the world, every morning, my kids, basically at the same time, every day, get a text with our Bible reading. Just a reminder of what our passage is for the day, along with a question that, you know, it's I got to run the gamut from 26 to 11, so yeah. It's got to be in there that it's not too theologically deep, but yet make sure that they're reading and understanding its application. And so we do that, and then on Sundays we take that all 7 days or 6 days, and we unpack them, and we discuss the application of the truths that we read through the course of the week.
It's a pretty neat way to do it, especially with your travel schedule. Now, not everybody can do that. It works really well for the Perkins family. But talk to us about the importance of just your commitment and your challenge to other dads that might be listening today about doing something, the call to disciple, and the ramifications of that as you look and you've sat in the seat for 15 years. If we are not doing that, you can see the consequences coming down the road.
Yeah, on many fronts. One, just as a culture, because our kids are being inundated with these anti-God messages, anti-biblical morality messages in our schools. We've talked often on this program about the curriculum that's through Planned Parenthood and others, but the media. And so all of these messages that they're getting shaping their worldview that is antithetical to biblical morality. And that has an effect corporately on the nation. But as a father, obviously, I'm concerned about the culture, but I'm concerned about my children. And that's my first priority. And so I've got to fathers have to take responsibility to be the spiritual leaders of their home. And that's not just praying for your kids. That needs to happen. Unfortunately, I think there's some fathers that aren't even doing that, but we need to be covering our children in prayer, modeling for them what a walk with the Lord looks like, and then walking with them, encouraging them, challenging them to do the same. I mean, what gave me a real passion for the scripture and started that habit, if you will, that good habit of reading the scripture every day was my father when I was 12 years old. I got into some trouble, and he said, "All right, you're going to read Proverbs for the next 30 days. the day that corresponds with, there's 31 Proverbs that correspond with the day of the month, you read it." And I started that, and I began to see the immense wisdom. And so then I after that 30 days, I just continued. And so it just continued and continued. And so I've seen how the Word of God is true, and that when you have it and you understand it and it saturates your life, your thinking, it really does give you the wisdom, and it gives you the ability to see things clearly. And it gives God really the tools to work in your life to do things that you could never do on your own. And so my goal is helping my children take those same values. Not my values. They're not my values. These are biblical values. These are God's values. And how what dad does, what dad believes, how does that become what they believe and how they operate? And so that's been... That's, I think, the number one mission of a father. We got that music going again in the background there, Harold. We got to take a break. We're going to come back and we'll finish this conversation, continue it. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, along with Harold Harper, my chief of staff here at the Family Research Council, on this Thanksgiving edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're going to continue our conversation right after this. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women. From aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
I'm Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch, actually a special edition of Washington Watch on this Thanksgiving Day. And joining me, Chief of Staff here at the Family Research Council, Harold Harper, sitting in the big chair today. Harold, talking about, if you just tuned in, this is a little different. We've stepped back from the politics and the policy to be more personal. And Harold's actually interviewing me today. So, Harold, did I answer sufficiently your previous question?
Yeah, I do think it's very helpful to see how you're managing the role of the spiritual leader in your home and then the importance of dads doing that as well. I know for me, our oldest is 25, so when Luke was born, I was scared to death to raise a child in the culture of the time. That was 25 years ago. I can't imagine. Luke just had his first child, Luke and Kelsey.
So that's now right. You're a granddad.
Yeah, this past summer.
Yeah, you're a granddad.
Summer. So that's what I'm thinking about as I look at my granddaughter being raised in the culture. Talk to us again about the importance of that and then how your time over those 15 years that you've served here has your time with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord has deepened because you see more and more of really the battle from a different perspective. And you think about the next generation of Perkins, too, growing up in the culture that we're going to leave behind.
Well, first, and I think you would join me in saying this because you tell me this all the time when it comes to your position at FRC, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I do say that a lot.
You do. I can't do that. I mean, I can't do what I do at FRC. I could never do it on my own strength. And that's why Ephesians chapter 6, is not just a theme that I like to close this radio program with. Ephesians chapter 6 is the theme book for a chapter for my life. And, and in verse 10, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." And we can't do this in our own strength. And we can't be a dad in our own strength. Mm-hmm. We can't. I mean, I've tried. And, you know, I tried. I'm going to fix this kid, you know. And you know, you and I have had those conversations. I have to figure out what God is doing, and I have to join him in that. But that requires discernment. It requires prayer. And I'll just say that my time with the Lord has, my walk with the Lord has been strengthened because of the sheer dependence I have to have on him in a way that I've chosen to have, because I want to live beyond my own ability, because in my own ability, I can't do much.
Right. But that's why you push us to the limits over here, that we are always right at that mark where you have to drop down on your knees, because you know the vision that God has placed on your heart, the initiative that you're looking at. It's extremely important. God's put it on your heart. And then that's a call for us to call to prayer, because he does equip us. I'm amazed at all that has taken place in 1 year that I've been here.
Well, I actually think that's the way we're supposed to live as believers, beyond our own ability. Mm-hmm. Because if we ever shrink back and we're in that comfortable zone, we can think, oh, I got this. And as soon as we think that we've got it, that's when we're in trouble. I mean, in Proverbs, it talks about how, you know, don't feed me with the fancy food that I will be so happy that I'll forget you. But don't make me so poor that I mock your name. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere in between where we're dependent upon him, but we see his hand working through our lives that gives us that motivation and that desire to be in that spot. Mm-hmm. And spiritually, that's where we want to be. And every day, no matter where I'm at in the world, begins with that quiet time of prayer and Bible study, and also exercise. I think that's important, to be physically physically well, because I think it all God is concerned about all of us. He's concerned about our physical, our mental, and our spiritual. And I think we need to be diligent in taking care of all of those things. And I think they all work together. And you know, my family, I kind of go the same way as I do with FRC. We're really beyond where we are comfortable, but we're not too far.
One of the things I've heard you say on more than one occasion is this: just the reality and the truth that you're going to stand and give an account to God for what you do, and that you take that very seriously, and because this is what you've been called to do, and that's what shapes your day-to-day decision making. Talk to us about that.
Well, William Wilberforce, you know, said once he became a believer, he said, you know, I realize that in this arena, I stand here as one who knows that he'll give an account for his votes. And that was the way I've seen this public stand, is that this isn't about me. It isn't even about what I believe. You know, and that's why I'm always hesitant to say, well, I believe. You know, we stand for the transcendent truth of the scripture. Mm-hmm. We are followers of Jesus. That's why I'm always amazed at people who are apologetic when they say that, you know, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's like, well, I don't know. No, you do know, because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And either Jesus is telling the truth or he's not. And if he's not, why are you following him? And so our positions, our views, are not our own. They are given to us by God. And so if we're going to follow him, we have to be true to those things, and we have to, in a dark time, we have to stand and defend those things. And I see, Harold, and I've seen this, and you and I have talked about this in the past, but I'm seeing it ever more clearly. It's the parable that Jesus talked about, the wheat and the tares. When, you know, the servants went out and they sowed the seed, and a couple days later they look out there and there's all these weeds growing up, and say, hey, what happened? I thought this was good seed. And they said to the master, do you want us to go out there and pull up the weeds? He goes, no, Just leave it alone, and they'll both grow up to be, so there's clearly distinguished between the two. And in the end, we will take the weeds and burn them, and we will harvest the crop. And he said, that's a picture of the end times. And I think what we see happening to us is, yes, evil is becoming more pronounced, but so is good. I mean, there are so many good things happening that we're seeing around the world. More people coming to faith. As I travel to different parts of the world, especially into the Islamic world. And by the way, I mean, we advocate for religious freedom here, and we believe every person has a right to choose to follow God or not to follow him. That's the freedom that God has given us. We do not believe that you can force anyone or anyone should be mandated to a faith. You can't do it. But what we're seeing as Christians who want to see people to come to know Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, we're seeing in these Islamic countries people coming to faith in Christ, having visions. I mean, there is a move of God. Doors are opening for the gospel to go forth. We have an administration now that, unlike anything we've seen in modern time, defending religious freedom, both here at home and abroad. It's a remarkable time to be alive. It's a tremendously remarkable time to be a Christian and to be in the service of our Lord. It's an exciting time.
I think that goes back to what you were saying earlier, just about how you do this work. You're up in the morning, in the Word, on your knees, prayerful. You could have never imagined what you've seen over the past 2 years. Now you're looking back and you see one of the most pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage, pro-religious liberty platforms. Can you talk to us about how you do that, you just stay true to what's right before you, and then you, when you're looking back in the rearview mirror, you see what the fruit of what God has done.
Yeah, that's been remarkable, and unfortunately we don't spend a lot of time looking back in that rearview mirror, but we see the pieces come together and say, wow, that was fascinating. That's neat. But it's a matter of a combination of the prayer. You mentioned the kind of how the religious liberty and all of these issues coming together. Well, you know, we did a lot of the groundwork. We were involved in writing the Republican Party platform, promoting those issues. And so it is a matter of prayer, getting the heart of God and getting your orientation correct, but getting up and actually going and doing the work.
As you've talked about it, that was not your plan to be involved in writing the Republican.
No.
I mean, God just, you know, that you've been faithful, you're prayerful, and then God, you
he
turn
opens
around
the
door.
There's
the door's open, I mean, and you walk through it.
I mean, here's another more recent example was Andrew Brunson, who's been on the radio program, where, you know, I was asked to go to Turkey and be there for his hearing. And honestly, I don't like to do a lot of traveling, but I prayed about it, and we had members of the team pray about it as to whether or not I should go. Because, I mean, I get so many invitations to do things that I've got to choose the best, not what's good, but what's best. And I wasn't going to go. And we prayed, and some of the team members prayed and said, no, you need to go. And so I went. And the way that whole thing unfolded, where, I mean, I just saw the hand of God working while I was actually sitting in that courtroom and having be able to be there to encourage Andrew and then have the contacts with the White House to arrange the flight out. It was just it was a remarkable, remarkable event that clearly the hand of God was in. And to be a small part of it is a blessing from God to be able to see when he gives us those glimpses of the fact that we were actually a part of something. You know, it's neat.
Talk to us about the Lord put on your heart this theme that we just had for the midterm election, pray, vote, and stand. And, you know, thousands of our friends and partners and listeners took the pledge and took it very seriously. But now that the election is passed, what are some practical ways that you would have for our listeners looking into the next year that we can continue to do that? We must keep forth the effort.
Well, Harold, it's really good because the it was not just for the election. It was something we thought about going into the election because we did that national tour for the sake of America. and challenging people to pray, to vote, and to stand. And as I said, you know, this does not have an expiration date. And we need to continue to pray. We need to pray for those in leadership positions, pray for our government, pray for our country, pray for our culture, pray for all these things. Going into the election, we prayed for the what some refer to as the seven mountains of influence. We prayed for the media. We prayed for education. We prayed for government. We prayed for business. We prayed for the family. We prayed for the church. We prayed for those things. And we need to continue to pray. We need to vote. Whenever there's an election, we vote. But the point was, our responsibility doesn't stop when we come out of the voting booth. We then must stand consistently for those transcendent truths upon which this nation was built. And so I encourage people to continue to take that pledge, that commitment to pray, to vote, and to stand. That's the only way we will see America. The president says, let's make America great again. Well, I like that vision. I think that's great. But America will never be great until it's good. And the goodness does not come from us, but it comes from embracing the truth of God. And that's where God's people come in.
Mm-hmm. We're so thankful for our partners and our listeners, and so many pray for us. I love when you or General come back from being on the road and just how encouraged you are to meet some of our partners, some of our listeners out there. And many want to pray and know how to pray. So how, as we look at the next year, what do you see happening, and how can some of our listeners be praying for us specifically?
Well, Harold, I think we constantly want to be praying and challenging people and encouraging people and asking people to pray that God would give us wisdom, favor, to and opportunities to know what to have the wisdom to know what opportunities to take, to have the favor upon us with those that want to partner with us. I mean, obviously, we are a nonprofit organization. We're able to do this because there are folks all across this country who share our values, who many sacrificially give so that we can be this voice in government and in the culture. And so pray that the Lord would send more partners to stand with us, and pray for our protection. It's both emotionally, spiritually, and physically. It's become a very difficult environment, and we need those prayers.
What about the administration, President Trump, new leaders coming in?
Well, we need to be praying. This is going to be a very difficult couple of years, but need to be praying that even those that we disagree with politically would be open to hearing from the Lord, and that the Lord would work even through them. We never envisioned Donald Trump would be the champion of the values that we care about, but he is. Well, Harold, we're up against the final break of the program, and I want to thank you for taking time on this Thanksgiving to sit down and just have this conversation with me.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's an honor and a privilege to work alongside of you and the other senior leaders here at FRC. It's an incredible privilege from God. So thank you.
And you do a pretty good job there in the big chair. All right, folks, again, happy Thanksgiving. Harold Harper and myself, we're going to go. Well, I'm going to go eat some more sweet potato crunch. Until next time. Let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you have prayed, when you have prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-472-5792.
1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.